Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and I am so super excited for you to be with Mission from the Heart again today. For this is the day that the Lord wanted you to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. He created this day for us all to be excited, to rejoice, to exalt Him, and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we're here today to continue in our beautiful lesson, The Ingredients of Agape Love. And of course, I have my special guest in the studio today, Minister Harold Copeland, to continue to pick up as we move forward in learning about a special type of love that is unconditional, that is a main ingredient, and of course, it is the main character of God. So get your Bibles ready, your pencils ready, or your pen, your tablet, whatever it takes for you to press in to the Word of God, so that your ears would be attentive and that you would receive the richness of God's word through the Bible. This is how we learn. We come together, one with another, that we continue to walk together, hand in hand, through the pages of our Bibles, so that love would just fall upon us, that we would breathe it out, and that we would learn to share it out with others. So we are going to just get right to the Word of God, and I want to just turn the broadcast over to Brother Harold Copeland so that we would have enough time to remember where love begins. Brother Harold?
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. As you know, I am Brother Harold Copeland, and along with our host, Minister Carnita Smith, we will be teaching in the studio again. Always like to welcome everyone to Mission from the Heart radio broadcast. Let you know that we love you, but most importantly, God loves you with His unconditional agape love. And let you know that it's an honor and a privilege to be able to fellowship with you concerning the precepts and the commandments of our Lord and our God. As was already said, we will be continuing our series on the ingredients of the agape love. And we're going to just dive on into the teaching, start out by reading our launch pad scripture, which is John chapter number 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Praise the Lord. Beautiful scripture. Now, we understand from the book of 1 John that our God is love. And not that He has love, but the agape, the unconditional love, the God kind of love, is the very essence of who God is. And in the beginning of the book of John, the Gospel of John, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word he's talking about is Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is God, and God is love. So Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. In other words, Jesus Christ is the agape love of God manifested in human flesh. Jesus Christ is the greatest expression of the agape. The greatest expression of the agape that came on the first of, on the face of the earth. But as far as it is recorded in the Bible, Jesus Christ, love in the flesh, love manifested in human flesh, he never used the words, I love you. There's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus actually said, I love you. Now, we think about when Lazarus died and Jesus got the news, the gospel writers said, not Jesus, but the gospel writers said, the one he loved is dead. Jesus didn't say that. And as we read the book of John, John called himself the disciple that Jesus loved. John called himself that. Jesus never said that. Isn't that amazing? Love manifested in the flesh never used the word, I love you. And we got to understand why. And this is going to grow us up in our love walk. Jesus never used the word, I love you, because love is more than words. Love, the agape, the unconditional love of God, the God kind of love, is action. Suppose someone told their spouse, I love you, and then they went out and committed adultery. Would that spouse believe their words, or would that spouse believe their action? I believe the spouse will believe the action more than the words. Now listen, 5%, that's very high. 95% of the agape love, the unconditional love of God, the God kind of love, is nonverbal. I'll say that again. 95% of the agape love, the unconditional love of God, the God kind of love, is nonverbal. The agape love is not in the things we say, but the agape love is in the things we do. Let us read 1 John chapter number 3, verse 18.
1 John 3, starting at 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Praise the Lord. Let us not love in word let us not love from our tongue with what we say. Let us not love with the words of our mouth. But let us love indeed and what we do. Let our deeds, let our actions show others that we love them unconditionally, that we love them with the agape love. And we're going to get this. The agape is an action word. Let us read Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36.
Matthew 25, starting at 35.
35, 36.
Hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.
Praise the Lord. Jesus is describing the agape, the unconditional love of God. He is describing it by the action that was prompt. Somebody was hungry. And then love showed up. And love did an action. Love fed them. Somebody else was thirsty. Love came up in. Love did not just tell them, I love you. Love gave them something to drink. Others was naked. Love didn't say, let me pray for you. No, the agape clothes them. Someone else was sick. And the agape, the unconditional love of God, came in and cared for them. Same chapter. Let us read verse 40.
King will answer and say to them, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
Praise the Lord. When we prompt an action by taking care of others' needs, showing them that we love them unconditionally, we are actually showing Jesus, actually showing God that we love them unconditionally. And using those words, I love you, it refers to God too. We can go into prayer and say, God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. We can say that all night long. But if we do not meet the needs or take care of the needs of our brother and our sisters, our talk, you know what, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter says, we're just making a bunch of noise. Amen. We love others through action. And then our actions shows God and Jesus that we love them too. Jesus was asked in the gospel. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied by, to love God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul, your strength and your might, and to love your fellow man as yourself. Now, these two commandments, they're really one. When we show the love to the least of the brothers, we are actually showing love to Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have a wonderful opportunity to love Jesus Christ in practical ways by loving others. And today, especially in these last and evil days, there are multitudes of people right now who is crying for our love. And the only way that they can get this love, this agape, is when we make the decision to understand the principle of love that comes from God's word. Love is kind. Love seeks the welfare of others. That selfless service that we talked about. Putting others before self. That's one of the first requirements that Jesus gave when he said, if you want to follow me. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. It's selfish, selfless, selfless. Take up the cross and follow me. You see, Jesus sought our welfare when he went to the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus was selfless. He put us before his own self. And we're going to show what it really means to love with the agape, the unconditional love of God, the God kind of love. But we're going to let Jesus show it to us. Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever lived. And the majority of his teaching, I like his teaching method. The majority of his teaching, he did by modeling it out for us. And as I said, I taught in the school system for a while, and the best way to teach the children whatever you wanted them to learn is to get in front of them and model it out for them. And that's what Jesus done for us in the gospel. Jesus went before us and modeled out the agape, the unconditional love of God, the God kind of love. And we will read some scripture that show how Jesus modeled out the agape love. Let us start in John, the book of John, the disciple that Jesus loved. That's what John said. John, chapter number 4, it's a parable. And we're going to read the entire parable and let Jesus model this out for us. John chapter number 4, starting with verse 3, and we're going all the way to verse 28. We are going to let Jesus model this out for us, the agape.
John 4, verse 3. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks from this well, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Verse 14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give this water. Give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband.'" Verse 18, "For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. The great teacher is modeling the agape, the additional love of God, the God kind of love in front of us. He's going before us. This woman obviously was a sinner. She had so many stripes against her. Number one, she was a Samaritan. And Jews and Samaritans was enemies. They had no dealings with each other. Number two, she was a Samaritan woman. And a Samaritan woman, the only man that they could talk to was their husband. They couldn't even talk to other Samaritan men, let alone a Jewish man. Number three, she was divorced 5 times. And number four, she was shacking up. She was living with a man she wasn't married to. Now, Jesus mentioned her sin, but his purpose was not to condemn her. His purpose was for him to tell her all about herself without her telling him. He wanted to reveal to her that he was a prophet. But then he wanted to go further to reveal to her that he was the coming Messiah. And once that was established, Jesus never mentioned her sins again. Because he didn't mention them to condemn her. He didn't come to condemn her. And as was read earlier, the Spirit was leading him. He said, I must need to go to Samaria. So he knew that there was a divine appointment. Somebody was there, was like some of us, was looking for love in all the wrong places. And he made that divine appointment. And he loved her because the Bible said love covers a multitude of sins. And he loved her out of her sin into the presence of the true and living God. And when she received that love, she forgot the purpose she came to the well, because the Bible says she left a water pot. And she became one of the first evangelists in the Bible, because she went to the city to tell her testimony. And through her testimony, love converted that entire city. The agape love modeled out by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's let Jesus model, keep modeling love for us. As we look in John chapter number 7, And we want to start in verse 53:5-3. And we want to read to chapter 8:11.
John 7, starting at 53. And it reads this way. And everyone went to his own house. Picking up in chapter 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" Verse 11, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more."
Praise the Lord. And as we see Jesus modeling out the agape, the unconditional love of God, obviously, this lady was a sinner. They say caught in the very act. This isn't, they heard she committed adultery. Somebody told them she committed adultery. She was caught in the very act. You know, that makes me wonder. The very act, that means it had to take two people, and the other one had to be a man. I wonder where he was. Why did they accuse him? He was probably one of them getting ready to stone her. You know, women back then were treated like fifth-class citizens. They didn't have no rights. But love, the agape, treated everybody the same. And they, the people, the town people, were trying to accuse her of being a sinner. But Jesus turned the switch and said, "You're a sinner too. And if any one of you are not a sinner, throw the first stone at her." And love brought conviction on that devil crowd, you know, because they was accusing. And the Bible said the accuser of the brother is the devil. And love, the agape, her sin. And love never mentioned. And that's what I like about the way Jesus modeled. Not like some of us do in the church. We find out a brother or sister is in sin, and we on the phone talking about it. Are we put them at the church? Are we shy away from them? But love, the agape, draw them near unto him. Because the agape love, the unconditional love, is stronger than any one of our sins. And not only do the agape love forgive us of our sins, but the agape love empower us that we can go and sin no more. And what touched my heart is when Jesus looked up and he asked the woman, "Where's your accuser?" And she said, "There's none, they're gone." And I just love the way he said, "And neither do I. And neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you praise. Amen. Let's just let Jesus continue to model it out. And as I say, modeling is a great form of teaching, because modeling shows us how it should be done. Amen. We ain't just reading these parables just to read these parables. I'm sure everybody read these parables a couple of times. But we're reading these parables that we may learn the agape love of God, and that we may allow God to use us to model this out in the presence of others. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to the book of Matthew, to number 9. Verses 9 through 13.
Matthew 9, starting at verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
Praise the Lord. So Matthew was a publican. In the English vernacular, a tax collector. Now, in those days, tax collectors was hated by everybody. And they was hated because they was liars. They was cheaters. They stole. They bribed the government so the government wouldn't arrest them. They thought about no one but themselves. Sound like a senator to me. When love encountered him, when the agape encountered Matthew, not one did the agape mention his sin. The agape said, let's go to your house. In a manner of have a celebration. We're going to sit down and we're going to eat together. And notice, the agape ate with his family, but the word said more taxpayers and more sinners came to eat at that table. And love ate with all of them because love drew them in. Drew them in to the presence of God. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love say, I didn't come to hang out with the righteous, but I come to hang out with the unrighteous, with the sinners. You know, the agape said, it's not the well that need a doctor. It's the sick. And when we are in sin, we are sick. And we need a doctor. We need a heart doctor. And the only true heart doctor is the agape. And just like he went to Matthew and his friends and his family house, the agape will come to our house also. Jesus modeling the agape love, going out in front of us and showing us the way the love of God should be demonstrated in the earth realm. Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10.
Luke 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, Who has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner? Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of all my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." Verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Praise the Lord. Again, Zacchaeus, a publican, in the English vernacular, we say taxpayer. Same attributes as Matthew. Liar, cheater, steal, bribe, not selfless, selfish, put itself before everybody else. He heard about Jesus. Obvious. Wicked and evil as he was, he heard some good things about this Jesus. And Jesus was getting ready to pass by, and he knew Jesus was coming, and he wanted to see Jesus. And he was a man short in stature. So he had to climb up a sycamore tree that he can see over the crowd. Oh, the great prophet, the great Messiah, love, the agape, love manifested in the flesh. Hallelujah. Knew that the reason that tax collector, that publican was so wicked, that he just didn't know what the agape, what love really was. And with that prophetic gift of prophecy, he even called him by his name, never talked to him before. Love to say, "I'm going to eat at your house with your family." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And just in the presence of love, Zacchaeus' heart changed. He was in the presence of the heart doctor. And he went to repentance. And love never said anything about his sin. Love never mentioned his sin. But in the presence of love, he was convicted and he began to repent. Hallelujah. Love, the agape. He loves us just the way we are. But he loves us too much to keep us the same. And just like love loved on Matthew and his family and his friends, and love loved on Zacchaeus and his family, the agape want to love on us today. In Jesus' name. And we have to do one more manifestation of love in the flesh. And it comes out of a very familiar parable. The book of Luke, chapter number 15, verses 11 through 24.
Luke 15, starting at 11. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into this field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.' Verse 24, 'For this is my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry."
Praise the Lord. Now, in this loving parable of the agape, the father represent God, and that youngest son represents us, God's children. And number one, the son, in the eyesight of the Jewish people, he committed one of the most unpardonable sin when he asked his father for his inheritance. That is a slap in the face of a Jewish father, because what the son was telling the father is, "I wish you was dead." And that act is punishable by stoning to death. But the loving father gave him the inheritance anyhow. And we know the story. He went to the city and he parted, right into the living. Eat, drink, and be merry. Some theologians said he had a lot of women. But when the finances ran out, he found himself on rock bottom. And we see that he made a spiel, a repentance prayer that he wanted to tell his father, because he thought he couldn't go back as a son, but at least I can go back as a high servant. And so he headed home. But while he was a long way off, not around the corner, a long way off. The agape, the unconditional love of God, the God kind of love, saw him coming. And the agape ran to meet him and hugged him and kissed him, gave him a robe, gave him a ring, gave him shoes, killed the fattest calf, because love was glad that his son came out of sin and came back into the presence of God. And notice, the son wanted to say his spiel, but the father wouldn't even let him say their spiel. The father never mentioned none of his sins. But the father just brought the son back into his loving presence. And that is what God is doing by the Spirit today. He's bringing us into his loving presence. Some of us may be of another religion, like the woman at the well. Some of us may have been divorced several times. Some of us may be living with somebody that's not our spouse. Or somebody may have a relationship with somebody else's spouse, just like the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Maybe there's somebody that lies and cheat and steal and bribe and think about nothing but themselves, like the tithe collector. And maybe somebody just like rise just living. They don't go to church. Their church is the club. But love is pulling on your heart today. And love want to have a loving encounter with you today. And you may say, Brother Copeland, I did worse sins than all those people. I did the unpardonable sin. Well, I'm here to tell you that the only unpardonable sin is unbelief, not receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You can easily change that today, because Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. And Jesus said, all you have to do is hear the knock. Jesus said, if you hear the knock, and you open the door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to sup with you. That's fellowship, just like he fellowship with Matthew and Zacchaeus. He want a fellowship with your heart today. And all you have to do is open up your heart and let him in. So we're going to stop, drop, and pray. And we're going to allow Minister Kenita Smith to take us to the cross.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to touch and agree right now, because this is a time for you to get right, a time for you to get right with Christ, with the Lord Jesus, time for you to just surrender it all to him. Whatever heavy weight may be on your shoulders, whatever thoughts you may have been contemplating, whatever someone has done to you in the past, let it go. Fall on your knees, surrender it all to Jesus Christ, and accept him as your Lord and Savior. So my brothers and sisters who may be listening today, partner with Brother Harold and I, and those who may not know him, as we go to the cross in prayer and bringing them with us, that they may have entry to the ark of salvation. Humble yourself before the Lord with all willingness of heart and humbleness of spirit. Just let it go. and cry out to him in the best way you know how as we pray. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. You are my salvation. What you did for me on the cross, I could not have done myself, you Lord. I've done some things, I've said some things, and I've acted foolish, just as the one who squandered all of his inheritance. Lord, clean me up on the inside. I did some people wrong. I said some things I know I should not have done. I've committed some crimes that I know I should not have done. But Lord, I know if I surrender to you right now, today, I will be saved. I believe by faith, Lord, that you are my salvation. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, needing a Savior. I come to you with all humility, saying, here I am, Lord. I need thee. Thank you, Lord, for receiving me. Thank you, Lord, for coming inside and setting up in my heart. For I love you and I need you. The scriptures have told me I need you. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Brother Harold and I are super excited, brother or sister, that you have extended your hand to the Lord Jesus Christ. The angels celebrate that you have come to Jesus, that you are now on this day a believer in Christ Jesus. And we just encourage you that you seek out a Bible teaching church. Hallelujah. Someone somewhere in your city that will baptize you by submersion of water, that you would get up shouting and singing hallelujah, that you are now in the body of Christ, that you would seek out a small group Bible study or a Sunday school class, that you can grow and go in grace, that you can tell somebody about your testimony, what and who led you to Christ. Hallelujah. And we are excited, and we say welcome, that this is the day that will change your life for eternity. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. And welcome to the family of faith. Brother Harold, we've come to an hour. Are we going to continue, or would we like to continue on next week with our discipleship in love?
Yes, we're going to have to continue because we still have some information to share concerning the unconditional love of God.
Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. We will meet you again, brothers and sisters, on next week. And we encourage you, in love to please continue to walk with us through the pages. Love is an ingredient that is missing in the world today. Based on all of the chaos and the things that are on the uprise, the enemy thinks he's got us, but he's a deceiver. He's an accuser. He's a liar. And love, as Brother Harold showed us in Scripture and shared with us, love covers a multitude of sins. So we have nothing to be overly concerned about. We just need to spread love, share love, give love, demonstrate love. And Brother Harold has indicated to us it's action. It is not verbal, it's action, it's deeds. So meet us again next week here on Mission from the Heart. Always remember the grass wither and the flowers fade, but God's loving word will remain forever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and Brother Harold and I will meet with you again and break bread together through the pages of the Bible. God bless you.
Thank you.